Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. May 21st, 2021. My new article on LinkedIn, "The daggers in our tongues are killing us." We shouldn't be surprised that while we are approaching the conclusion of Operation Guardian of the Walls in the South, a new front is gradually being opened in the North. We may not like it, and Hezbollah and Hamas are indeed terrorist organizations, but the whole world stands behind them. They enjoy the nation's support not because they are fighting for the Palestinians, but because they are fighting against Israel, which the whole world hates. We can change how the world feels about us, but to do that, we must change how we feel about each other. Whenever we hate each other, we summon enemies against us. This has always been the case with the people of Israel. When the Talmud describes the reasons that caused the downfall of the first temple, for example, it writes that the Jews would eat and drink with one another, but they were so spiteful that they would stab each other with the daggers in their tongues, Yom 9b. If you go on any social media platform in Hebrew, any news outlet, or read any newspaper, you will find just that, daggers in people's tongues, freely stabbing their dissenters for the crime of disputing them. Since we are repeating the conduct of the past, we are bringing on ourselves the cataclysms of the past. However, things don't have to be this way. The opposite trajectory works just as well. When we care for one another, we win the favor of the world. Describing how the nations felt about Jews while they were united, around the end of the 3rd century BCE, the book Sefer Devarim, item 354, elaborates on the three pilgrimages, which were festive marches to Jerusalem to celebrate and congregate three times a year. According to the book, Gentiles would go up to Jerusalem and see Israel, and say, "It is becoming to cling only to this nation." Even infamous anti-Semites, such as Henry Ford, lamented that the Jews no longer set an example of a role model society, from which they would like to learn, if they only had the right example. In his virulent composition, The International Jew, The World's Foremost Problem, Ford asserts, "Modern reformers, who are constructing model social systems on paper, would do well to look into the social system under which the early Jews were organized. There is a clear synchrony between the way we relate to one another and the way the nations relate to us. Currently, we could not relate to one another worse. Accordingly, the nations cannot stand us, and side with our enemies, however immoral they themselves may be. If we want peace, we must make peace with one another. If we want the love of the world, we must love one another. This has always been the case with the Jewish people, and until we accept it and change our relation to each other, missiles will continue to rain down on our people." The War of Gog and Magog, Part 6. Give Israel an opportunity to prove itself. Question. According to the Book of Zohar, all the kings that persecuted Jews throughout history, such as Sennacherib, Nebuchadnezzar and others, will take part in the War of Gog and Magog. How do we understand this correctly? Answer. All ideologies, even those that once ruled in this world and then failed, will rise against Israel again and again in order to enable Israel, the middle line, the power of interconnection, love, and unity, and direction to the Creator, to demonstrate itself. Comment. In the Book of Zohar it is written that in the future the Creator will resurrect all the kings that oppressed Israel and Jerusalem, he will give them power, and they will gather the rest of the nations in themselves, and will fight against Jerusalem. And the Creator will openly reward them near Jerusalem in the future, as it is written, "This will be the defeat with which the Creator will smite all the nations that fought against Jerusalem." My response. The Book of Zohar allegorically describes all spiritual actions. It is clear that it does not imply any connection to reality, to bodies, places, wars, and forces. All this is 99% resolved only in the spiritual world. And in our world, there is only some kind of shadow of this, a small insignificant copy, completely invisible to our eyes. This manifests itself, for example, in the form of some kind of a small conflict between peoples, between countries, so that they reveal this basis a little, and then come to the common denominator. From CAB TV's Spiritual States, April 30, 2021. Quantum physics and mind power. Question: does quantum physics explain the power of our thoughts? Answer: I cannot vouch for quantum physics since there are additional aspects that are published every day with regard to it in the form of different theories and methods. In the past, I used to keep up with the new publications all the time, but now for a long time, I have not engaged in it. The fact that we can manage different actions through our thoughts is true. After all, thought is the highest power. Above it, is only desire. So, if the desires and thoughts of a person are correctly directed, then the power of the Creator is put on in them, and the person creates. In principle, we do everything that we need to do to correct the creation by our thoughts and our desires, in which the thoughts and desires of the Creator are clothed. From CAB TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, February 3, 2019. What is happiness for a Kabbalist? Question: what is happiness for you? Answer: happiness is the continuous attainment of the reality revealing before you. Just as if you are driving along the road and more new views are revealed to you, so is the continuous revelation of reality, of a new reality, in new amplitudes. This is happiness. Moreover, this happiness is not subjective, it has to be objective. It should be such that you feel it not within yourself, but in the property of bestowal, of love, in properties that go beyond you. That is, first, a person must acquire such properties that do not limit him in anything. Then you can talk about happiness. Question: but it turns out that you are as if driving on the road without a map, right? Is all of this suddenly revealed to you, without any itinerary? Answer: everything is revealed to you suddenly. It is because you become unlimited, your consciousness and everything else expands. But it is still limited at every moment of time because you are driving, you are moving forward all the time. Therefore, Kabbalah, reception in Hebrew, is called this way, that is, this wisdom is about attainment, about reception, about achievement. It is said that at the end of this path we come to the attainment of the Absolute. And there are probably no changes there. From CAB TV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, April 5, 2021. Between the world and the Creator. Question: some time ago, you said that we have finally come into resonance with the world and now are mutually influencing each other. We learn that egoism is constantly growing in the world. In this resonance, should we somehow overtake and take control of this general egoism? Answer: it is enough for us to properly adjust ourselves all the time to the world and to the Creator. We do not need to rule over the world because the fact that we will correctly resonate between the world and the Creator will lead everything to a state of correction. It all manifests itself in intentions. Only work with intentions. Question: does this mean that our group determines the rhythm? Or does the world determine our capabilities? Answer: mutually. If we move forward, then we define. If we fall behind, the world determines. This is felt by the good or evil attitude of the world toward us. The world's reaction to us clearly determines whether we are improving or not. Question: what is happening to the world now is spinning more and more steeply. Should our connection with the world, our sensations, go into something qualitative? What else can we invest to make us feel like we are the link? Does it depend not only on us, but also on the world? Answer: it depends on us, and we will try to push the world forward. From CAB TV's Teacher, Student, February 7, 2019. The Mystery of the Unification of the Masculine and Feminine, Part 14. How does a woman influence a man? Question: if a man studies the wisdom of Kabbalah and scrutinizes what he studies and his wife does not object, then he is the receiver of the light. Can we say that when a woman studies the wisdom of Kabbalah and the husband objects, but then changes his mind after a while, is it the woman who influenced him? Answer: a woman influences a man much more than a man influences a woman. When a woman studies the wisdom of Kabbalah, her husband will certainly follow her, but when a man studies the wisdom of Kabbalah, his wife will not always follow him. We can see this in every country and in every nation. It is the same everywhere. A man eventually listens to his wife. A woman who studies the wisdom of Kabbalah can bring the family in the right direction, whereas the husband cannot, because he has to steal time from the family from time to time in order to engage in what he loves. This is the reason that I ask the women to pay attention and to make sure that the men will be able to study properly. From KAB TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, March 3, 2019.